This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. This podcast is in partnership with Transitions Optical. Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. And on today's show, we are talking all about light sensitivity. Yes, light sensitivity. So today we're going to break down how daily exposure to light can impact our visual performance, general health, and well-being. Today's guests are experts on light sensitivity and recently wrote a white paper on sensitivity to light. Friends and family, please welcome to the show Coralie Baru, Senior Scientist, Photobiologist, R&D Light Management of Essilor International, and Chris King, Global Marketing Manager of Transitions Optical. How are you two doing today?
Doing great.
Well. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. And thanks again for being on the show. I'm super excited today because we're going to talk about light sensitivity. So I get to put on my opto nerd cap and really geek out with you guys. But before we jump into light sensitivity, if you don't mind just giving us a background of who you are and how you got into the eye care business.
Okay, thank you. So Coralie, I am a physicist by background and I joined Essilor almost 9 years ago already. In research and development in Paris in France to study how light interacts with the eye and how light can affect our well-being, not the sight. We know that light is very essential to sight, but how light can affect our well-being, our life, our mental health, body health, memory, and all these very exciting topics.
Thank you, Coralie. And Chris, how about you, sir?
Yeah, so I've been in the optical industry ever since I joined Transitions about 7 years ago, but I've worn glasses and contacts nearly all my life, so I had some idea of what I was getting into. What I didn't really know is that in 2016, I'd have the opportunity to move to Dublin, Ireland to help establish that global marketing team there. So that's been quite of an adventure. But prior to Transitions, I had a little bit of work at a college. Prior to that, a nonprofit. Prior to that, sporting goods. So I really consider myself a learning and innovation enthusiast. So I try anything once, especially if there's a tech component to it. And I think that's why I just really love working with Transitions and getting to learn things and help people learn things in a fun and creative way. So today, my role at Transitions is a bit of a dream job because I get to collaborate with so many brilliant experts like Coralie and leaders in our optical community like yourself and do some incredibly, some incredible stuff like Transitions Academy or like the white paper we're going to talk about today on light sensitivity.
Wow, amazing backgrounds. Thank you so much, Chris and Coralie. So let's really jump into it. I mean, you guys recently wrote a white paper on light sensitivity. And I love the direction that you took because a lot of folks only look at light sensitivity in one dimension. And you guys really took more of a holistic approach. I really would like to learn a little bit more about the inspiration, what really drove you guys to do this research and do this paper. If you guys don't mind just sharing the background of how this paper was inspired.
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, for the last 30 years, the key driver behind what we have done and what we do is light. So understanding light's impact on not only vision, but on a patient's daily life and their long-term eye health has been the foundation of the light intelligent products that we develop. So we have observed, though, that there is still not enough dialogue and action around light sensitivity and just how essential and impactful providing constant light protection is to good visual experience. So one of the key insights we've discovered in this is that 9 out of 10 people say they experience light sensitivity. And when measured, approximately 1 in 3 people would be classified as highly light sensitive. Yet today, only 1 in 10 people worldwide are wearing something that's going to help them, wearing a dynamic, light intelligent lens like Transitions. So we see a real opportunity to help people, to really help provide education on this important topic that's going to lead to more professionals bringing light and light protection into their protocols like you do, and of course, into their prescription as well.
Wow, Chris, those are some staggering statistics. 9 out of 10 people are light sensitive. 1 out of 10 people actually have a dynamic light intelligent lens to solve that problem. When I hear those statistics, I really feel that us as eye care professionals are not doing our job and we need to step it up. I see this as great opportunity to have that conversation about light. I mean, I think about myself. When I was younger, I remember being outside all day long until the streetlights came on. And at that point in time, that was the main light source that was bothering my eyes. I wasn't wearing sunglasses. I wasn't wearing a hat. But now I'll fast forward to 2020, and I'm surrounded by artificial light. You know, cell phones, smart TVs, tablets, you name it. All these digital devices are giving us that artificial light, which can cause more light sensitivity. In this white paper, you really touched on how modern light has impacted our day-to-day activities. Coralie, if you can give us some insight in regards to this.
Yeah, totally. It's our modern light environment has drastically changed from previous generations. Before it was natural light, but now this is really driven by artificial lights and all day long. The former balance of natural and artificial light has been totally disrupted. We are now overexposed day and night to artificial light, LED lighting, so with much more blue light for too long, especially in the evening with the digital devices. And we really lack the benefits of natural light at specific moments of the day. So really, instead of aligning behavioral and physiological processes to the natural solar cycle, individuals today respond to artificial light cycles created by social and work solicitation. Urban light pollution, night shift work, transmeridian travels, televisions, computers have dramatically altered the timing of light used to entrain biological rhythms. And guess what? We know that our daily exposure to light strongly impacts our visual performance, right, but also our general health and well-being. So as we are constantly yet dynamically exposed to this light from various sources at the same time, from all the directions, and the consequence of all of this is an increased sensitivity to light. As Chris said, 9 out of 10 people experience sensitivity to light. This is huge. And also poorer biorhythms, meaning a desynchronization of our biological clock.
I love it, Coralie, and I really love that you touched on the biorhythms, because I think that's something that is very key that we have to realize and something that we really have to have that dialogue and conversation with our patients, because light can impact our biorhythms. And if that's not in sync, that can really cause disaster to our lifestyle. And that's the reason why you guys really created this white paper, because again, I know you wanted to take more of a holistic approach. And when you do that, you can factor in, you know, the patient's perspective, their physiological interaction, the impact on their daily life, and you can really look at the different dimensions of light that really has an impact on these biorhythms. So let's talk a little bit more about just the holistic approach in general, because it's beyond just looking at the science. I mean, we have a new way of living with artificial light and natural light.
Yeah, right. You said it perfectly. We really wanted to have this holistic approach, not looking just at the science, not only the four dimensions of light, but also the emotional aspects and also the physiological processes, how eye and brain interact with light. So yeah, we have considered this holistic approach, not looking just at the science, but also the emotional, the psychological aspects and the physiological aspects, how eye and brain interact with light. So first, we have considered the four dimensions of light you have just mentioned, the intensity, the spectrum, meaning the color, the temporality and the spectral distribution of light. And we have combined how these four dimensions can really interact with each part of our eye and each part of our brain. And we have also integrated the life profile of a patient, meaning the job, the occupations, is he or she a heavy digital user? How is her resistant to pain? How does he live? Where does he live? What about cataract? These are very critical questions that we need to tackle to better understand the sensitivity to light, because it's not only science. This is really something about emotion and about life profile. And by sharing our knowledge on sensitivity to light for this white paper, this is really our desire that it will help eye care professionals in their diagnosis and treatment of patients. So we have explored 6 of the most bothersome light situations through these 4 dimensions of light and identify the question you can ask to help assess whether or not this is a situation experienced by the patient and if this is really annoying for the patient and the severity of the annoyance.
Yeah, I love it, Coralie. I mean, you're exactly right. We have to take a holistic approach when it comes to light sensitivity. I mean, this is going to be the best way to solve our patients' needs, to solve our patients' problems as well. And the cool thing is that Transition actually provides resources. I mean, in addition to this white paper, we have a 6-item questionnaire that patients can actually do before they even come into the office, or they can actually sit down with the technician when they're being worked up. And that can help create dialogue when it comes to talking about light sensitivity.
Yeah, and this is really the essential first step to better understand the patient. And this is really a short quiz, so not taking too long, but it really helps, you know, to define this very complicated topic. And it's also and help to have the correct wording, because wording is key when you talk about sensitivity to light.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that quiz can be found on transitions.com. So all my colleagues out there, make sure you bookmark it, make sure your technicians have that information as well, and utilize these resources at your fingertips. One thing that you touched on that I really want to circle back to is more of that emotional aspect and that psychological aspect. I think that's something that is huge and something that we don't really think about as eye care professionals in the exam room when we're prescribing from the chair. And I think if we actually put that into the mix when we're writing that ultimate prescription, that could really be a game changer in regards to how we communicate with our patients. So let's talk about that a little more in detail, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, so people who experience sensitivity to light are impacted not only physically, but emotionally, professionally, and socially. A loss of visual performance or light-associated discomfort can impact daily life. In fact, 86% of working Americans experience sensitivity to light in the workplace, and 74% say that sensitivity to light negatively affects their ability to do their jobs. People suffering from severe sensitivity to light experience ocular pain that can have a significant impact on their quality of life. Now, this pain occurs during exposure to light levels required for everyday functionality and productivity, and this can result in physical and social isolation, along with a loss of function. So I had the opportunity to interview one of these patients who had suffered from severe light sensitivity all their life, but who had found relief in high school when she was prescribed Transitions Extractive Lenses by her doctor. And it's really an incredible story, and I encourage you to check it out. We'll provide a link from transitionspro.com where you can check this out. But she recounts her early years of isolation and pain, struggling with light sensitivity. And then she details the life-changing impact she felt when her doctor prescribed a dynamic solution. So it's really empowering to hear, you know, from the patient the impact that her eye doctor was able to have by diagnosing her light sensitivity, and then the transformation she went through wearing Transitions lenses. It really is incredible to hear.
You know, Chris, you really hit the nail on the head. The one thing that we have to actually do is diagnose light sensitivity. We have to explain to our patients why they're light sensitive, treat the underlying issue, but also give them a resource to help protect their eyes from this. I'll give you a prime example. My sister-in-law came in the other day. She's a makeup artist, and the best one in the area, by the way. And when I was taking a look at her eyes, looking at her tears, I could tell that there was a lot of dryness, a lot of makeup debris in the tear film. So, you know, I educated her in regards to that and told her, hey, this is what's causing that light sensitivity. But then also I gave her that education about, you know, natural light as well as artificial light. And then I told her about that dynamic lens option choice of Transition lenses. And of course she gave me some kickback. Nah, I don't think I'm ready for that. And then I told her, I said, look, check it out. Get this lens. If you don't like this lens, I'll pay for whatever you need out of my own pocket. Not the company's pocket, but my pocket. Fast forward 2-3 weeks later, did she ever say anything back to me about the lenses? No, because her life has been on autopilot. Number one, she treated the dryness that we touched on. Number two, she has that protection with Transition lenses, and she has no concerns and no worries. It really impacted her life simply because I diagnosed it and I gave her a solution to treat the eyes. I mean, Transitions is phenomenal, and when you can really own light sensitivity, you can really impact your patient's life and be a leader in your community. And that's what I'm all about. I want to create that ultimate experience. I want to be a leader in my community. I want to be the expert. I want to be the one that's going to solve their problems. And with Transitions, it can really take your practice and your personal brand into the next level. Light sensitivity is something that we really need to focus on, you guys.
That's awesome. Honestly, Dr. Glover, it's funny you bring that up, is that's exactly the advice that the extractive wearer gave to us in the video. So I actually asked her when I got to interview her, I was like, what advice would you give? And she was like, just prescribe it to someone and tell their story. And it's about, you know, those stories and seeing the real benefits, because it's a very complex technology. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's a very simple benefit. You know, as you said, it's that continuous, seamless throughout the day. You know, it's autopilot. So I think that's not to steal too much of the thunder. You still need to go check out that video. It's still great to hear the experience, but yeah.
So. Why not make life easier for our patients, right? Make it a seamless transition regardless of the light conditions that a patient may be in. And you guys have done the research for us. You know, with this article, you guys really did some deep digging. I mean, I know you went over 100 scientific articles, both qualitative and quantitative, just consumer studies, mapping out a multitude of light to better understand it and just the people's relationship to it. And while you were doing this throughout the process, you actually identified four dimensions of light.
Yeah, right. There's four dimensions of light. So we have intensity, the light intensity, the spectrum, meaning the color, the temporality of light, and the spatial distribution. And all these four dimensions are very critical to better understand and qualify the sensitivity to light of a patient. So we are all familiar with light intensity. The more intense the light, the brighter the light, the higher the discomfort, and the higher the visual impairment. Basically, we are all bothered by very bright lights, and we have natural aversion response for exposure to bright lights, to the sunlight, for instance, with pupillary constriction, eye movements, squinting, and in some cases, blinking. So we have protection mechanisms, yes, but a very, very bright light environment bleaches our photoreceptors, saturate them, so we really need to recover.
And Coralie, I'm glad that you brought that up. I mean, we have all these mechanisms to help reduce light sensitivity, but we could take it to the next level by having a lens option to do that. And that's why Transitions was designed the way it is. I mean, when you think about how your eye adjusts to changing light, you know, your pupil doesn't instantly expand and contract, it gradually changes. And this is the same way that the transition lens option works. It's an assistive way on how the brain and the eyes are wired. So it's important not to just have your natural mechanisms take place, but also have something that can help reduce that intensity by having that pair of transitions to make it easier for your patients. And again, going back to the autopilot lifestyle.
Exactly. This is a powerful protection mechanism. It really acts like your pupil size, and it really decreases in an intelligent way the light intensity. You're right. You're perfectly right.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the spatial distribution of light. I know the spatial position of light sources and their size have a major influence on the quantity and quality of light received by our eyes. So this is a critical factor. Let's dive a little more deep into this.
All right. Spatial distribution actually is critical. It's a critical dimension of light we need to consider. For instance, headlights, you know, which are very small sources arriving in the peripheral vision in the night, not so bright in reality. So the light level is very low, but appearing super bright compared to the dark background, they can be particularly bothersome, especially for people suffering cataracts because of their higher eye scattering. So this is the spatial distribution effect. The smaller the size of a light source or the closer the light source, the higher the discomfort or even disability glare. Also, you know, high spatial contrasts of luminances favor higher discomfort. If you look at your smartphone in a very dark environment, like, you know, every night before going to bed to catch a last information and answering your delayed messages is part of the most annoying situation, actually, whatever the age.
Very true and great points. What about the temporal factors, Coralie?
Yeah, sure. So temporality is also a critical dimension. Light is all around us, continuously, but in a very dynamic way. And a sudden transition from light to dark or dark to light is particularly demanding for our eyes. After exposure to bright light, vision loss is often experienced by the patients when moving into dark or dim situations, and a recovery period is needed. So this is really impacting. And also previous short and long-term light exposure impacts the perception of sensitivity to light and the tolerance to discomfort. Meaning the light history of a person has a significant impact on how he or she will react to light in the future. So this is really critical.
Gotcha. Well, last but not least, let's talk about the spectrum properties of light. Although we're well-versed in UV and blue light, I would love to still get your insight, especially when it comes to blue light.
Yeah, you're right. We already know that long-term exposure to blue light contributes to accelerating retinal aging. It favors oxidative stress. And I think this is something that we are all aware of now, but also already immediate exposure to this blue light can contribute to symptoms of visual fatigue. It can favor discomfort glare and scatters in the eye, increasing the effort needed to maintain visual focus. As an example, an unbalanced light spectrum with a peak of blue light, like in front of our digital screen, is very likely to be associated with higher discomfort or even disability glare. And once again, whatever the age.
Awesome. Well, this has been great information, very informative. I would love for you guys to just leave us with some key takeaways from this podcast.
Yes. Well, first, 9 out of 10 people experience sensitivity to light. This is huge. Second, a holistic approach. We need a holistic approach that considers both the dimensions of light, the 4 dimensions of light, but also physiological aspects and psychological aspects, how the eye and brain interacts with light. This is essential to understanding a person's sensitivity to light and its impact on the daily life. Also, a person's sensitivity to light can manifest throughout their day and affect them physically, emotionally, professionally, and socially. And then I would say our modern light environments impede the defense mechanisms of the eyes to cope with glare, causing discomfort and disabilities. This is why this sensitivity to light is so huge.
Yeah, and I would say each light environment is a particular combination of 4 measurable dimensions of light, and they each have a unique interaction with our eyes and brain. But there are 6 light situations people report as most troublesome. And this is where we've taken that knowledge and brought that into the light quiz available on transitions.com. So check that out, use it. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice I could give you, is to start the conversation with that. Also, you can assess a person's sensitivity to light by asking questions about their daily life related to the most troublesome light situations, as well as conducting lifestyle and medical questionnaire. Essentially, there's so many different ways that you can assess light sensitivity. The simple formula is assess, take time, build it into your protocol to assess and diagnose light sensitivity, and then prescribe a dynamic light intelligence solution like Transitions.
Wow, this is great information. Thank you dearly, Chris and Coralie, for hanging out with me today. This podcast has been phenomenal. It's been very informative, and I love how Transitions is really looking at this more from a holistic approach when it comes to light sensitivity. I love that you guys have really looked at the patient's perspective, how it impacts on daily life, the physiological interaction, and also identify the key dimensions of light. Colleagues, make sure you check out this white paper. Make sure you hit up transitionspro.com to get all the resources you need to prescribe from the chair to take your patient's experience to the next level. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Thank you for hanging out with me, and I look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.